This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3901 for Monday, the 17th of July, 2023. Today's show is entitled Time Management. It is hosted by Operator and is about 21 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is Time Management.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio with your host, Operator. Gonna do this one off the cuff and in my car, so hopefully I won't melt before I run out of air conditioning. But anyways, this is gonna be over how I manage my time with and kind of communications here lately with ADHD. So if you have problems with time management or communicating effectively, executive function, impulse control, whatever, task switching, this is how I am currently dealing with some of that. So first thing I'll say is the impulse control stuff, I've learned to say, give me 5 minutes, especially with my wife. So if we're doing something, or if I'm in the middle of something, or if I'm trying to finish something up, someone asks me, especially my wife, for something, I'll say, you know, just give me a second. Give me 5 minutes, give me 10 minutes. Sometimes I need longer than 5 minutes, but usually 5 minutes is plenty of time. Now, people don't want to hear that when, you know, they're hanging on the roof or in the middle of some kind of crisis or semi-crisis, but it's something you can start out with instead of just no or in a frustrating response. So that seems to work most of the time. And then kind of the second piece is time management, which is extremely difficult for me. I can't remember anything unless it's a calendar item. So, or an alarm on top of that. So way I have it set up right now is I have a family calendar, and that family calendar has up to 3, maybe 4 calendars on it that show the availability. So it'll say busy. And the way I have it set up, is that my wife has her own calendar that she adds to. And then I have my own calendar that is basically my calendar is the family calendar actually. And Kathy's calendar is, I think, her calendar, more or less, and she uses it, whatever. But I've given her access to my calendar, and that's kind of become the family shared calendar, along with Kathy's calendar is kind of a family calendar, too. So I share her availability and my availability, and then the Scouts events and stuff. So between those 3 calendars, I can share the availability in a URL to, because you can have multiple calendars in one calendar view. And it's a bit complicated, and if I remember, I'll put it in show notes. But you can share as many calendars as you want in one single month view. So that's one way to, you know, easily show friends and family, hey, here's my availability right now. It doesn't include my work stuff, obviously, so that's how I handle that. The family stuff, people can see availability. We can usually work it out. We can put, she doesn't like to do it, and she's been a lot better lately, my wife. I'll tell her, hey, you don't have to set up the event, but just let me know, put a TBD, like to be determined. So if it says to be determined, I know to ask her and follow up with her, or I need to fill in more information, like when the event is, or what the location is, or the address, or whatever. And I'll pick up the rest. So really all she has to do is make sure that I know I need to follow up on something, put it in the general area of what it is, and just put to be determined in front of it. So I know, ooh, what is this thing I need to elaborate on, get more information, instead of her having to figure out the calendar event, and it's, or maybe a repeating event, and it's like Monday through Wednesday, but it's till December 24th. And she has, you know, she's not quite comfortable doing that. And she doesn't need that, right? So I'll do that. We'll work through that, and we're still kind of working through that, but she's helped out and it's made a big difference. That's how I handle most of my family stuff. My availability is flexible for work, but what I tend to do is I have, we use Microsoft at work, and Microsoft has a free thing for 360. It's called Bookings, and you can have a public bookings calendar that just shows your availability. And all it does is have, you can set 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever. And then they can put in their email and they can add additional notes I have as required. So basically any vendor, any person that sends me a thing, or if I have a message with them, then I can just send in that link and I can send it internally. It doesn't matter who it is, and they can easily book a meeting with me. So if they do it internally, I see all their information, whatever, and it automatically resolves all that for me. It's not just random, I don't think. And if I do it externally, then they get the email address and I have some idea of who set the invite. And if they leave the right email, I can work with them to try to figure out what's going on. I actually have my email set to junk filter high. So that way I don't get phishing emails. I don't get any external emails. I only get internal emails. I'm on the security team. So if I'm working with a vendor and a vendor says they're going to send me some information, or I'm looking for some information, or I'm looking for some usually token authentication or something like that, what I'll do is I'll tell them, hey, let me know you're going to send me something, because if you're sending on behalf of someone else or through some third party service, I need to look out for that email, because, you know, they'll say, oh, I'll set you up an account, I'll send you a password. No, they're not sending you anything. They're enrolling you in some kind of SaaS service, and you have to be cognizant of that. And I'll still check the junk mail every once in a while, but generally speaking, I've missed things before where vendors just arbitrarily send me stuff, and then, you know, I have to make sure that I'm aware of that. So that's how I handle that. I have basically 8 alarms per day, more or less. I have a personal alarm, I have a work alarm that basically one fires. So in Android, you can set a alarm and you can set it repeating, but I set the personal and work alarm to not repeat. So essentially, whatever meeting I have next the day before, I put it in the queue, and usually that works. Sometimes if I have back-to-back meetings and I'm not paying attention, I might be on a call a little bit longer, and hopefully if I'm on the computer, I'll actually see that pop-up, or I'll see the pop-up on the phone. But usually if stuff runs together, or I get off a long call and I'll go eat lunch and forget that I've scheduled a meeting or not actually set the alarm back. So sometimes I miss some meetings because I have to reset my work alarm, because I only have one at a time. I will miss meetings if I do not have alarm for them, no matter how many times I get notifications. Same thing for any kind of time-based event, depending on how big it is. There is an app for Android, at least, called Time to Leave, and it used to be part of Google, and it's not anymore, but Time to Leave will tell you when to leave, essentially. So as long as it's running, you'll get a pop-up notification that says, ooh, time to leave, you can configure it for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, however much lead time you need, and based on the traffic patterns and Google, it'll tell you, hey, you need to leave by 4:30 to get there by 5 o'clock, right? And it will buffer the time in there, and you can set the buffer however much you want. I set all my events for when I'm actually physically supposed to be there, not when I'm supposed to get ready. So that way I have consistency across the board. So sometimes I've said, oh, you know, this event is at 4 o'clock, but really I'm going to be helping out and I need to be there an hour early, so I'm going to set it at 3 o'clock. So then when the event comes along, I'm like, ooh, did I set that 3 o'clock for when I actually need to be there? Or did I set it for the event when the actual time starts and I have to subtract another hour? So is it really 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock? I don't know. So for consistency's sake, no matter what the event is, I do it when everyone else is supposed to be there. And then I calculate the time needed for me to help out, or if I'm helping coordinate the event or whatever the party is, I know that I need to subtract the time no matter what. It's when everybody else is supposed to be at the event. So that helps with any confusion as to, did I subtract the time I'm supposed to, or am I supposed to be there at 4, or am I supposed to be there at 3? I don't know. So that will help with the calendar stuff. Same thing for personal. I'll set up my personal alarms. I have one for just like doing the cat poop, and the way my alarms work is until the task is complete, I will hit the snooze button. If I don't do that, then I will miss it, and it by defaults for like 5 minutes for Android, and then after like 5 snoozes or 3 snoozes, it goes to like 20 minutes or something, and then eventually I think after like an hour and a half it turns off and it won't let you keep snoozing it or something like that. But usually within an hour, hopefully, I've been able to get finished with that task or whatever it is so that I can switch to the task that's on the alarm. But like, I never hit the silence or the dismiss until it's actually done. So I'll be going downstairs to do the thing, or I'll be going upstairs to do the thing, or whatever the task is. I'll go in the kitchen to do the thing, and it never happens. And then I'm like, oh, I missed the thing because I went down to the kitchen, but I got distracted by something else, or someone else had an injection, and I lost track of what I was supposed to be doing, and then now I've forgotten. So I snooze the alarm until it's done. So even if I'm like in the middle of, you know, cleaning out the cat litter and the alarm goes off, I will still sometimes hit the snooze button because you never know, I might be distracted and might get pulled off the task and then have the cat litter half done or whatever the task is. For my medications, I am about to go into Kroger here. I use Kroger for everything. My health insurance is not great, and they want you to use CVS, whatever, but it doesn't necessarily matter because I use GoodRx, and I had a rant about drugs and having to deal with prescriptions and all that stuff. So having the ADHD meds, that's annoying. The way I set that up is I have a repeating event for whatever the thing is. So pick up the prescription, I set the date on that in the actual title. So for example, 5/19 is when I'm available. I can go get more prescriptions from my doctors on 5/19. So I put RX, you know, pick up 5/19. And if 5/19 comes and I'm not able to do that task, I have it automatically repeat every day forever. So that way, if I miss a Tuesday or whenever the day the 19th is, it's going to realarm the 20th and the 21st and the 20th. And now it's been a week and a day, and I'm just now doing the task that I was supposed to do last week, which was like, you know, the 18th or something. So that repeating every day the same task that I haven't completed is more the same of the in the likes of the snooze button. You know, I'm essentially repeating that task or repeating that event and telling it to finish forever. And then when I fill the prescription, when I pick up the prescriptions, I just change the title of the date, and then I move that item to the next month. Instead of having to recreate it and get it all worked out, I'll move that item to, you know, whenever it's ready to be completed again. And then I just keep moving and I keep changing the title. So that way I always know, ooh, I was supposed to go get more prescriptions on the 19th, and now it's the 21st, and, you know, I'm in the hole 3 days or whatever, but I'm getting that repeating notification every day, and I'm like, ooh, you know, it's been a week, I'm behind, you know, I'm getting low, I need to make sure that I do this task today. Same thing for the refills. You know, same thing, shenanigans for the refills. You know, oh, I was supposed to do it Monday, I didn't do it. Supposed to do it Tuesday, didn't do it. Wednesday, I completely forgot. But now that I have that moving, that repeating notification with the date, I have an idea of, okay, when is it actually happening? When did I pick it up? So if you fill the prescription, you know, it doesn't actually start till you pick it up. So then I have to reset that date. So, you know, I'm supposed to do it on the 19th, but I don't actually do it till the 21st. And then that changes the reset date, right? So I keep moving that date and that title as it changes so that I always know when I can actually complete the task and get it done. So that's how I handle meds. Communication, I've been using ChatGPT with non-sensitive, you know, stuff for work. I've never had that consistency with writing and assistance. And I feel like after maybe a year or two or three, the more I see a ChatGPT or whatever AI I use change that sentence structure, I'm going to understand, you know, actually be able to use commas and actually be able to have the context. Because with my brain, I start conversations out in the middle of the conversation, and then people have to work overdrive to understand what I'm even talking about. And that's just part of how my brain works and sometimes how I communicate. So a lot of my writing comes out in that same regard, as I'll be too forward or too joking and I won't be professional enough. And when I'm talking even internally, you know, that professionalism sometimes can turn into comedy because I'm trying to, you know, work with a sensitive subject or a difficult subject or a difficult time that I've had with a different group. And, you know, it's the, even if you write an angry email, boom, you can tell ChatGPT, put that angry email in, and ChatGPT will make it not angry anymore, more or less. You'll have some tone in there, but it won't be nearly as bad as McCurdy speak. So, you know, God forbid it add context, it will compress. You know, I don't know how to do commas, so I write kind of in the style of how I think it's going to compress everything together. So, you know, I'm more writing the prompt out how I know it's going to compress things together. So it's like, I like turtles. I like the beach. I like, you know, to walk on the beach. And knowing that I'm writing it incorrectly, I'll start to see the ideas. I'll start to see ChatGPT piece those together, and I'll be like, oh, well, that's how I do commas. Oh, well, that's how I do add context in the front of something, and this is how the flow should be, right? Okay, oh, I had this in the wrong position, and this has nothing to do with what I'm trying to communicate, but it's a rant or some kind of incidental piece of information, and I'll use that, you know, clear and concise context. I'm trying to prevent somebody from getting ran into in the Kroger parking lot here. So that's how I'm handling communication, and really kind of trying to help with my grammar. Other than that, you know, the communication with your loved ones, and, you know, reestablishing relationships with people you have avoided, that you are in your family, that are willing to have conversations, right? It's really important, right? I'm 43, something like that. And it, you know, as you get older, your friends and your relatives start to have friends and family and parents pass away, and you start realizing, you know what, maybe avoiding your parents or avoiding this particular relative or avoiding, you know, a family member is not the best way to handle it. And you can try to be reasonable, and you can try to be cordial, and you can, you know, talk about what you're having a hard time with and establish boundaries to start. And once you've established those boundaries, you can try and repair or work on the relationship. But, you know, it's avoiding people just because it's hard is the easy thing to do. And a lot of people, you know, we don't really have that community anymore. And as the different generations of children come out, it's been more of that, where it's just easier to avoid people. And that's not gonna help in the long run. And it makes you a better person if you're able to work with people that, you know, are neurodiverse, or they have their problems, and then nobody's perfect. We're all just people, and being able to communicate effectively and say, hey, you know, I feel like you're having a hard time with this thing, you know, get some, excuse me, online therapy or legit therapy for a little while, and kind of understand, you know, where you struggle with communication and how you can communicate effectively with people. Is one way to start, but I'll get off of that rant and let y'all go. So hopefully they'll have my meds for me, and I will be resetting the dates and all that stuff. But that's just how I've been trying to, you know, make myself better and work on communication and time management and all that. And if it's not on the calendar, it does not happen. So I'll let you guys go, and hopefully have some fun, see some family, and, you know, communicate. It's all communication. Okay, so I got back in the car and realized I'd missed a couple things. It's already been 17 minutes, so it'll be quick. The other way I do tasks is in a task list, which is, I use Google Keep. I have a task for HBR. I have a task list for house, general house stuff. And then I have a task list for other things. So anyways, it's just a task list that I use in Google Keep, and I'll just add to it. So, for example, if it's not anything that's pressing that needs to be done, then I put it on the task list. Or if it's something I need to look at later, maybe download, check out a movie or check out a new book or something like that, I'll put it on there on the task list. And if it doesn't have criticality, then I will put it on the list, because, you know, sometimes there might be a day or two until I actually look at my task list. So if it's not anything that needs to be addressed right away, I'll use the Google Keep and kind of separate those out. And sometimes the tasks get done, sometimes they don't, sometimes they sit on there forever. And and never get done. So that's some of it. But, you know, if it's a little thing, you know, ooh, remember to go buy this or pick this up, I'll use Google Keep. The other thing I wanted to say was, I can't remember right now.
So another newer way I've been doing this is I've been setting up the title as RX space and then whatever needs to, wherever I need to go, followed by the date. And then that repeats every day, and I move that calendar event around. So for example, if it's go to Kroger on 6/27, then I repeat that on 6/27 daily. And if I ever miss it, I know, okay, the title says 6/27. I was supposed to do that, you know, a week ago. And I can change the date, add, you know, 60, however many the count. So add 60 to the date or 30 to the date of when I pick it up. So when I pick it up, I set the date to when 30 days, 60 days plus of whenever I picked it up. That seems to be working, but even then I had to go back and wipe everything out and start clean and start over with a nice clean titles because everything got weird and moved around and I changed the wrong name of the wrong one and everything got all messed up. So I had to go back and figure it out. So I tried to do it that way, but we'll see how that goes.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.